What's up, y'all? Here we are for Survivor on AfterBuzz TV. This is episode 4 of season 36. Trust your gut. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Survivor on AfterBuzz TV. We have a full panel tonight, and we are so excited that you guys are joining us once again on Wednesday. I'm your host, Paige Bonanno, and I'm so happy that my full panel's here tonight. Who are you guys?
I'm James Wallington.
What's up, everybody? I'm Timothy Michael.
What's up, everyone? I'm Michael Rippey. It's good to be back.
Yes. Ghost Island, bringing back a newly deceased ghost. He's not too much of a ghost yet, but
I was basically on Ghost Island all season.
You were. You were for 3 episodes.
We sent him every episode. We weren't trying to have you around.
I'm back now.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the live chat. Let us know what you thought about tonight's episode. What did you guys think overall? My original thoughts I was mentioning earlier is I thought this episode was, like, surprisingly slow until the end. But I know a lot of you guys didn't feel the same way.
I loved it. I mean, I thought that the comeback in the mini challenge was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely disagree with you. I thought that this episode was exciting. It wasn't as fast paced as I would have wanted it to be, but there were moves played. There were a lot of players that I find I'm more gravitating towards now. Mm-hmm. So I liked this episode a lot.
I think for me, it was more so overall, like, the story, the way it was produced, like, there was a consistent storyline and edit throughout the entire episode. But I was not happy with how it ended. Like, oh, I was so disappointed that, to me, it ruined the overall episode. I will be honest about that.
Do you guys, like, want to talk about the ending now? I mean, since it was such a big thing, or do you want to just kind of go the way that we...
Let's build up to it.
Yeah.
All right.
I need to get back into those emotions.
sure, I need
to get my raw.
Okay, well, first, Timothy, you said that, you know, a couple people had been standing out to you. You know, you saw a little bit more of people's gameplay. Yeah. Who in particular?
Well, Laurel, in the first ring challenge, I thought that she displayed really, really awesome physical ability, which surprised me. We finally know who Chelsea is, so now but she's actually finally on my radar, so now I'm like, oh, now I can put a face to the name. And Dom isn't as big of I feel like he needed that like knock of a peg down, that kind of check to his ego to kind of put him on a level playing field. And now I'm kind of like liking him a little bit more too.
Well, I also think with Dom, he was so thrown at us. Like, he was so in our face from the first episode, and tonight he wasn't. And so I kind of enjoyed the balance of not so much Dom.
Yeah, because I thought he was on the bottom.
Like him a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's a good point. I mean, speaking of Dom, what did you guys think about him telling basically multiple people that he does have a real idol? Because last time we saw, he had said, I don't, you know, the idol was fake, but now he went first to Wendell telling him that they had an idol, and second to Laurel and telling her that they have an idol. I mean, what'd you guys think of that?
I liked it because he's playing the game. I always like when someone's playing the game. So even though it was kind of, I mean, he's fibbing a little, but
I think maybe telling Wendell was a good strategy, but maybe not as much to Laurel. I don't know, just because I know what he was trying to do, but him and Wendell were completely on the bottom, so he kind of did that as more of like a, hey, dude, we're going to be able to make it. There's hope. Mm-hmm. But with Laurel, when he told her, it kind of seemed like, you know, she even was a little taken aback. Like, oh, so you did lie to us then, you know?
I think playing devil's advocate on that point, Laurel actually went to Dom first and kind of said to him, hey, I don't really trust Chris, and I think I like you and Wendell more. So I think Dominic saw that as a window of opportunity of like, you're actually coming to me. This is my opportunity to be like, yeah, I'm going to come clean with you, because I would hope that this would set a foundation for us to work together moving forward.
But like, the thing is people never needed to, you know, even just a couple years ago, like, you don't need to come clean to everybody that's on your side and tell them you have an idol. Like,
true.
He could work with Laurel and not tell her and still hide the fact that he has an idol, because that's Survivor. You can hide the fact that you have an idol, because normally you're not supposed to even tell anybody.
But I feel like we look at Survivor now and we go, they're going to tell everybody they have an idol.
Right,
it's like, they never... It never fails. Everybody always tells everybody. Mostly all the guys, and we've already talked about this in past episodes, but mostly the guys have the bigger mouths. They usually tell everybody that they have an idol.
And also, I think earlier in the season, that's usually more apt to tell people because there's more people to share that information with, and you think it might help you get a little bit further. I think later in the game, you're more usually used to kind of like withholding the information.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. And in this game, knowledge is power. So the more people you tell, they can use that against you. Where if you didn't tell anyone, you might overhear a conversation where your name is in someone's mouth, and then you're like, oh shoot, maybe I should start playing more defensively and play my idol tonight. You don't really have that opportunity if everyone knows you have an idol because no one's going to be upfront with you.
But then at the same time, it's a game of trust. So if you telling somebody you have an idol, that's a huge kind of like leap forward in the trust department because you don't know these people from Adam. So for you to sit there and tell them, hey, I have a very, you know, big part of the game in my pocket right now, just, you know, kind of puts people on your side a little bit. But then at the same time, you're right. It could make you a target.
Yeah, no, those are all good points. What do you guys think?
I do love that we saw more of Laurel tonight, and I think the start of the episode kind of set the tone for me of like, because she's on my fantasy draft, and we also last week were like, well, who is Laurel? I liked what Dom said, because Dom was like, wow, like, Laurel approaching me is showing that she's here to play, and there's definitely a gamer in her, and I would be very curious to see Donathan and Laurel teaming up with Wendell and Dominic, because I think that foursome could be very interesting. Just because they seem so opposite. All four of them are so opposite outside the game that it would be fascinating.
That would, be a really fun one. Especially like the Dominic and Donathan.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel like there's something brewing with those.
Something brewing.
Laurel mentioned tonight that she didn't want really Chris to be in charge and she's ready to make her name in the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, speaking of Laurel, I mean, can we just talk about how good she did in that reward challenge? Like, she killed it. And also she said she was a D1 athlete.
Yeah.
You know, at Yale?
Yeah.
It's not enough that you're a D1 athlete. You're a D1 athlete at Yale.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're smart and athletic.
This made me extremely jealous of James because you have her on your team. Because I wanted her and then you picked her last week. But I was extremely jealous that you have her.
I got excited because I was like, yes, I'm glad I picked you. But I think there's a reason why they showed us that soundbite. Because she did say, yeah, I'm from Yale and I'm a Division I athlete. But she also mentioned, I've been lying low under the radar, but at the same time, I'm here to play and I want to make a statement. So I feel like we're going to see that from her at some point.
And
they're setting
her
up.
When she was making statements, like even when she was like, hey, I do want to play this, and she goes up and speaks to Dom, I mean, she does it in a very subtle, like, just like friendly way. It's not like these big, grand gestures with her. Mm-hmm. I mean, so far, you know, she's really, like, I like that she's been playing under the radar a little more.
Yeah, it's early in the game, but I feel like she's got a good chance.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that she is approaching all of the gameplay, it seems like she's got a good head on her shoulders.
Definitely. So in the reward challenge, I mean, this was kind of like, I thought it was like a bloodbath, honestly. I was nervous that somebody was like going to get actually hurt because they were like wrestling each other and jumping on each other's backs. And I guess Laurel was the one person that really stood out to me the most. I mean,
she won twice.
Yeah, she carried there.
So not just
tribe.
The first time, but to come back in when you already have won once.
Yep. Right.
With that being, especially in the water and they're on you, like that's... Mm-hmm. That's athleticism.
I wonder if she told her team, like, you guys going into this, I'm an athlete. Like, I can do this. And they were like, great, perfect. You can go for the girls twice. Like, that just
makes sense.
I feel
like since she did so good the first time, they were like, all right, go back in.
They saw her perform. Like, you got to do it again.
Yeah.
Well, another thing I noticed in this reward challenge, and I want to know what you guys think, is I felt like Dominic and James had the upper hand over Bradley and Sebastian. Like, I feel like Bradley
Dominic
and Sebastian
and
are such small guys. And Dominic just seems bigger in stature. So I just assume.
James has not been really.
I had to remind myself for a minute, oh wait, James is on that team and he hasn't really performed that great, so that should have been an obvious thing.
In the second challenge show, I was like, don't let James that down there. He's not going to be able to unlock those boxes. And I feel bad for him. He always also just seems so serious. Like, I mean, he said he was raised, like, you know, his Korean parents were, you know, they raised him to be really strong and serious and stuff, but he's so, like, in the zone all the time. But then, I mean, we don't see as much of a performance out of him as I would like, but maybe it'll change as we go on. But, yeah, those people really did stand out to me. I mean, what would your guys' strategy have been in that challenge? Like, would you have gone straight for the buoy and, like, tried to throw it back? Or would you literally just go full force at it?
Like, I think it depends who you are, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're, like, a little person like me, I would have had to, like, throw it to someone and then maybe swim faster, hopefully.
Yeah.
But if you're big, maybe you can, like, with stand people, like, crawling on you and trying to, like, choke you out.
I was thinking of this question because when we were watching it, I was like, well, what seems to be the better strategy? Going for the ring at first and then throwing it back, or letting everybody get to the ring and then just wrestling for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like both kind of methods worked just fine. I liked what, I forgot who was on Malolo who said it, but they kept saying, get their feet from under them. And I was like, how do you like get the upper hand in this? Oh, and it's the feet. Like, I don't really understand.
I wonder if you could get up on it and then just like literally kick them.
Like, I guess you have to get their feet up and then drag them through the water.
Well, because if your feet are up, then you don't have as much like power in the water.
Yeah, of course.
You can just be dragged.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know though. I mean, I feel like going all the way back there, then you have to fight all the way back to the thing. Like, just kind of like, you know, stagger a little.
I've been sitting here trying to think what I think I would do in that situation. And I feel like it would either go one of two ways. I feel like there's definitely a benefit to sit back and kind of watch. It's like if you are in the wild and you are hunting your prey, yeah. you kind of want to sit yeah. back and watch their moves to see kind of like their mannerisms or their body language to figure out what their weakness might be and then go for it.
Because if you go too far, you might lose it.
Right. Right. But then at the same time, it's like having a goalie position. Like you want to stand in front of somebody's ring. So you let those two go front. Mm-hmm. And then if they come back, then you kind of divert them. But then at the same time, if they're wrestling for the ring, the stronger person's obviously going to win. So you want your teammate to help you. It's like a double-edged sword. Like you want to block your post, but you also want to go for the goal. So it's...
There was a post... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mentioned this to you guys off camera last week, but I did a Survivor charity event last summer, and I actually got to play Survivor over the course of a weekend with Brett and Sunday from Millennials versus Gen X.
Oh my God.
And one of the challenges was actually diving into a pool and grabbing a ball and wrestling it and putting it into a basket. And I actually think I was the more aggressive one, and I went for the ball because I felt like it gave you that upper edge to just go for it.
It was with Sunday.
Because you kind of already had a goal in
Sunday and who again?
I didn't really hear anything you said. I just heard that you were playing the challenges.
What was their strategy?
I think in the way the pool was set up, it was more dive in and grab it because you could get to the basket first. But I felt like maybe the more aggressive approach is the strategy.
Did anybody get hurt? Because I'm on Paige's level. When they always introduce these physical challenges, I'm always worried that somebody's going to get...
They were choking Laurel. Elbowed
in the nose or the eye, or somebody's gonna get hurt and get it medevaced out. Like I'm always worried.
There was something. It was like a fun post on Instagram that it was. I think it was on the Survivor Instagram. I didn't watch the whole thing, but if you guys want to go check it out, they like had the Dream Team showing that challenge and like kind of like the ins and outs behind the challenge. The challenge producer was showing it, so that's kind of cool. If you guys want to check it out on Instagram,
I'm really confused, though, with this challenge, why they changed up the protocol for Ghost Island. Did they make that clear? Because why all of a sudden are you sending someone to Ghost Island before the immunity challenge, and then they come back for immunity, when it's not been like that the first time?
Right, no, that's a great
point. Did I miss something?
No, they never, I mean, yeah, that was a question.
I thought they just changed it up.
Yeah.
But why?
Yeah, what's the point?
Is it going to be like that moving forward? Like, I need answers.
They should have done that. It's like, either do that from the beginning or don't do it.
Exactly.
Or explain it to us why you're doing it this time.
Because poor Kellen... You know, I feel like there's an advantage to going to Ghost Island. Not only do you get the opportunity potentially to play the game,
you don't get voted out,
or you get immune for a round and don't have to go to tribal council.
Right.
That's
where
an advantage,
Kellen didn't get that option like the first three people did when they went to Ghost Island. To me, it didn't really seem fair.
Right. But then at the same time, when they don't explain something like this, it just makes me go to like straight conspiracy theories because like we obviously found out what happened with Kellen, and Kellen didn't go for the challenge, so she had her vote, and then they lost the immunity challenge, so they had to go to tribal, and then it's 4-4. So it's like if Kellen wasn't there, it would have been 4-4, but then since she was there, they had the numbers. Like it just like makes me go straight to conspiracy theories.
If she would have lost her vote, then it would have.
It couldn't have been set up more beautifully.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was very poetic how the story played out tonight for Kellen.
Yes.
It's true.
Well, it's probably like, the producers must see and ahead of time, like, this is where the numbers lie. Like, let someone send somebody to go silent this time.
But then why didn't they do that last round?
Yeah, and then because would the producers know that they would have lost the immunity challenge?
Right. It could have been a production flub where it was like, oh, shoot, you know, like, we had something happen where we can't have them on there for too long. But I just wish they would have given a little bit more backstory. Because you're right, then conspiracies start to develop and it makes the people question the integrity of the show. I'm not. But some people could.
Yeah, what do you guys think? Let us know if you know any more about this or if you thought it was a good idea or not. With Kellen at Ghost Island, I mean, like you guys said, I thought it was kind of like bad timing for her. Like, I mean, it obviously worked out, but like it kind of sucks if you're going to Ghost Island that you're going to go at a time like this. Mm-hmm. But something weird also that I thought is like, I mean, maybe I didn't understand this from the start, but that are they going to be playing the exact same game every time? You either don't get to play or it's you can give up your vote for an advantage. The advantage might be different, but the game's the same.
Yeah, it's kind of anticlimactic.
Anticlimactic. Because we saw it the first time where Jacob could either get the advantage or lose the vote. And then the next two people didn't get to play. So I was like, okay, it's going to be a different game every time. And they had the same game this time. And I was like, well, what's the point?
Go ahead.
What did you think of Kellen's decision tonight?
I think there's something beautiful in the decision she made. You know, that is the game of Survivor. You have a choice. And for her, either way, it was going to be a risk. And tonight it paid out. But I feel like if you're there to play Survivor, take the risk. Mm-hmm. But in her mind, in her perception, she did.
But I mean, if she had taken that risk and lost her vote, then they would have been tied at the immunity.
That's true.
I mean, but then just saying, they would have been pissed at her because then she would have been like, "Why are we
explain herself?"
Right. So then they probably would have been mad at her, and that could have put a target on her back. So maybe overall,
like,
she made the right decision.
Yeah, I guess. Your vote. Right.
I guess what I was really wondering is, if you were in that position and not being Kellen, would you have? Would you play the game or would you pass?
I think I would have passed.
I would have taken it.
I would have passed.
I would have taken it.
For the same reason Kellen had. Because I wouldn't want to have had explained myself like, oh, I almost took something for me. Because then my group back at camp, which seems like they're a pretty strong fivesome, they would question after, well, you didn't get to vote, which is why we just lost a member of our own team. You weren't looking out for us. You were looking out for yourself. And at the beginning, it's a team game.
It's a team game.
Right.
You can't think selfishly.
Right. But then at the same time, it's thinking about yourself early that might get you to the end.
True.
So,
but
I mean,
her move that she did make tonight could set her up to get her
May help her get to the end by making a move.
Yes, of course. But if she had gotten that whatever the advantage would have been, it could have even taken her further.
Okay, what kind of advantages do you guys think that there are? I mean, we obviously saw the legacy. Mm-hmm. What other things could potentially be in there?
What are other things
that people
have gone home with in their pockets?
Immunity
what
other at a things?
Certain I mean, period. Say that Kellen would have gotten an extra vote. You know? I mean, I guess she didn't really need it because she was on the top, but what if it would have been somebody else that was in the four instead of the five?
I think the extra vote is definitely a good one, or taking away someone's vote. Ooh, I know they've done that before. Mm-hmm. Or maybe like they'll incorporate again, because it is about past things, but maybe they'll just incorporate a hidden immunity in a challenge, and then they give that person the heads up of like, in the next immunity challenge, you could find an immunity here. But again, it's still too many immunities. Like, there needs to be something different than a hidden immunity.
It's just so far, like you've said, it's a little anticlimactic. And like, I mean, the legacy advantage means nothing to me because it hasn't been played ever.
Yeah.
Or the last time we saw it, at least. So it means nothing to me. And now they haven't played any other challenges. And I'm like, what the hell is going on at Ghost Island? Like, give us something.
What if one of the advantages were, you know, when somebody else has a hidden immunity idol?
How do you know? Like, the producer comes and whispers?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, they put it in your bag. Like, this person has a human meat. Like, they do with the legacy.
Would you even trust it, though? Like,
I would tell... Well, what if someone else wrote it?
Is this real?
I mean, they've never done it before, so nobody would really be on that page.
I also
feel
like that would affect someone else's game too much.
What about
wouldn't that be kind of setting up someone else for failure?
I feel like taking away somebody's vote
it would
is
kind of be
the
influencing
thing,
the game.
But that's affecting that.
It's kind of BS.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It would be kind of BS, I feel like. I don't think Survivor would ever go there.
Because they'd be influencing the game, I feel like,
that
too much.
Yeah,
it's
and
too
also, much like, that person worked really hard to, like, find that idol. Like, that I feel like that's, like, a sacred thing that you can't mess with.
But what about this?
Producer.
If Kellen goes back to Ghost Island at a certain point, does she make the same decision?
No. I think she'll...
Trust her gut in the moment then, too.
I think when it gets closer to the individual game...
Maybe then she plays
hopefully
it.
Hopefully she'll start playing it. Because tonight she thought about her team.
Yeah.
Which maybe I think at the early stages is smart.
I mean, she was talking about trusting her gut, too. And, like, I mean, obviously her gut was just... You know, you always have to go with your gut.
Yeah.
But also the fact that she was... Sorry, real quick. Like, with The Rock. And she was, like, talking about how she was going to go to Ghost Island. And then she got it.
That just once again brings me to conspiracy theories. Because
no
I'm like,
no.
How
she
did
was
you
doing it as
fuck?
She was digging
no,
in there.
I know. But I'm just like, goes back to like, damn, this is like, this episode was literally perfect.
It was so I feel like producers, when they were watching on the monitors, probably on the sidelines, were freaking out. Like, thank God, this is going to be so great to edit. This is beautiful.
Yeah.
It was awesome. The one thing I will say I appreciate about Ghost Island is not necessarily game related, but story related. We, as viewers, get an opportunity to really see below the surface of them as a player. Like, we got to know Kellen tonight, and she's very true to herself, and she's clearly gone through, you know, she got divorced, she
went
back
to grad
school.
She...
We got to see Kellen as Kellen and not Kellen as a survivor, just like we did Chris last week and Donathan the week before. We're getting to know them as...
Yeah.
Who they are.
Yeah.
And I love that.
And that's how I kind of, like, I was saying tonight, I mean, Chris is a little annoying when he's playing, but, like, when we saw him at Ghost Island, like, I did like that we got that underneath... sense, because a lot of times we'll go through so many people and never even really get that like, you know, real sense of who they are. Going into immunity, I mean, talk about a huge comeback. First of all, they were so far behind, and I thought this was kind of a cool challenge too, and you really got a chance to even come back with those little balls that, you know, sitting on that ledge.
I feel like they've been doing that a lot lately with those balance, like, on the top.
Was there anyone in this challenge that you guys felt like really stuck out, or, you know?
Well, I thought Chris helped make the comeback. I mean, he struggled at the start, but also I would have liked to see, just in general, where they give you a little bit more information. How much does the chest weigh?
Oh, no, my God.
Like, it would be, they're like, he just, Jeff says, oh, it's a heavy chest. But, like, what is that, if you could tell us, like, maybe more clarity on what's going on. Well, because then you see them, like, pushing it, struggling. Okay, I get it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Chris really did. I mean, at the end, he was literally just trying to pull the chest by himself, and everyone's just sitting there. I'm like, dude.
They're just looking at him like...
Yeah, he's like, you got this.
Guys, help. Except for Wendell, who was, like, grabbing his waist, and I was like, there's a rope. Just grab the rope.
Like, it's literally, like, tug of war, you guys. Yes. Come on.
I forget who, but someone in the live chat asked a question at the beginning of our show asking about Chris, like, why do we think they hate on Chris so much when clearly he carried them at the end? Mm-hmm. Like, he was the reason why they won.
Part of it is probably they feel a little threatened.
Sure.
That he's been the leader and that he's, you know, a good looking guy he's physical too. Yes. You know, he kind of has all the parts.
I feel like he's just cocky. And when you come off as cocky, you come off as like a huge threat.
Yes. I think it also has a lot to do with, I think, the first or the second episode where he's having a conversation with somebody and I forgot who it was, but he was more talking at her than to her. I know it was a female.
Oh, Angela. Yeah.
Angela, yes. And it would just put her off. And then it put me off. And I was like, you're right. He doesn't talk.
Especially if you're just getting to know someone.
Right.
You don't really have that background.
He comes off as too much of an alpha male. And I feel like that's just kind of been his downfall so far.
Where, surprisingly, Brendan didn't. Because you'd think that they would be...
Yeah, and they were saying at the end of the episode, they're like, they said Brendan's not a threat. He's very docile. But, like, Brendan, I feel like he just plays it back further. Whereas he's just as strong and physical as Chris, but... He plays his game differently.
Yeah.
I don't feel alpha male vibes from Brendan at all.
No.
I really like him. And I'm sad at the outcome.
Liked.
I really
like. I feel like you feel more alpha male from, like, Dominic.
Yeah, even Dominic, yeah.
But even he was toned down this episode.
Yeah.
Maybe, like I said, because he got his ego checked.
And Donathan, too. No.
I mean, depends on how you look at it.
We were like,
I do love Donathan.
That was a good one, Paige. That was a good one.
Oh, my God. But anyways, this is just proof that you never, ever, ever quit in Survivor.
Yeah.
You never quit.
Yeah.
And they had a great celebration.
They did.
Joseph Boza says the alpha male attitude that belongs in the Big Brother house, not Survivor.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, speaking a little bit of alpha males, I mean, I don't know if Bradley played, like, an alpha male rather than he was just kind of, like, the ringleader. What did you guys think of Bradley's gameplay? Of Bradley's gameplay, what do you think of it so far?
I need to kind of...
Yeah, take this one in for a minute.
I need to think before I speak about Bradley.
Yeah. The reason I ask is just, you know, we've seen so many sound bites from him just being like right after they lost and he goes back and they're talking before Tribal, he's like, this is so wonderful. You know, we have the numbers on our side. And he's just always like so sure of himself. I mean, which could be a good or bad thing, but I think the way that he plays it with his whininess is just not working for him.
I think it's good to a degree. I think he's setting himself up for a massive failure or a surprise at some point, which...
Yeah.
Especially when he said, like, this is what's going to make me such a good lawyer.
Yeah. Oh, I was like...
Yeah.
There's, like, a level that you could be confident and brash and abrasive even, but, like, when you, like, you're that... aggressive with the complimentary attitude of yourself.
I wonder what Bradley's like in real life.
Well, Jeff, in the pre-interviews for the show, when he talks about all the cast, he said Bradley was very arrogant.
Oh, yeah.
And we are seeing that in this episode.
Yes.
Because I was thinking...
And it was kind of a turnoff.
I was thinking maybe like he, you know, is actually like coming off this way. A lot of people, you know, they're not really like... They don't play to them true selves sometimes. And I was like, you know, I feel like he could be a type of person that's not so in your face and cocky, but I guess that's not the case.
No, he is. And Survivor Show in the chat said that, you know, he's very cocky. And I agree with that. What I didn't like about Bradley was right after they came back from losing the immunity challenge and they have to go to Tribal, when Stephanie goes to try and talk to him and he was like, well, we have the numbers. That's all I can tell you right now.
Yeah.
And I literally wrote in my notes, never close a door, because you don't know how Stephanie can help you in the beginning. At least talk her up.
Like, and she could be a jury vote for you at the end.
Yeah.
Like, and she might remember that moment.
Right. Don't be a dick to her, because she might just come back and bite you in the ass.
Yep. And that's why when you are that confident, or even like when it borders on cocky, you got to have a little humility, because then you can see these areas that may be the difference between winning and losing down the road.
And I can't remember the names, but wasn't he like comparing himself to two really good players?
Boston Rob and Kim Spradlin.
Like, okay, dude.
And Sheena123 just said, also Bradley brought up he was the new Kim Spradlin. And I put that in my notes too. I'm sorry, first off, Boston Rob and Kim Spradlin had a social game.
Yes.
What I'm seeing from Bradley tonight has no social game. He's too arrogant. He's not someone I want to vote for at the end if I was playing with him, just from what we're seeing. So it's like, if you're really a Kim Spradlin, you can be in control with people still liking you.
Right.
Yes. You're not giving me that vibe at all. Boston Rob, it took him 4 seasons to actually win one. Oh, so... Bradley, that's not one you really want to aspire to be, in my opinion.
I think what we've noticed from the people that have been voted out so far is they all didn't have social games, which is just really funny to me. Stephanie Gonzalez didn't, and Jacob really didn't. Yeah. He was socially awkward.
Right, right, right. And, he tried too hard.
Yeah, and then Morgan had a little bit of a social game, but she didn't get her feet
under. Not enough.
Yeah, and then now...
I thought Brendan...
Now they're going after Bradley.
Well, Brendan, he just got caught up in the...
He just got a bad hand. He got dealt a bad hand.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like his would have developed.
Yeah.
I do, too. Yeah. With kind of, you know, how Brendan, that whole thing came about. So, at first, they were saying that they, like, to throw the Brendan-Michael alliance off, they were saying that they were going to go, basically telling that they were going to vote for a girl. But then they knew all along that they were going to go back and vote for, like, one of the...
Mind games.
Yeah. Manlier guys. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, this is kind of when Chelsea emerged. Because she was the one that said... We should vote one of the boys because they won't expect it. And that's when I was like, Chelsea, who? Like,
Chelsea wanted to go after Michael, and then Desiree was like, no, we should go after Brendan.
Yes.
So
we have Kellen, Bradley, Sebastian, Chelsea, and Desiree, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Desiree is the extra one.
Sebastian,
okay.
Kellen, Bradley, Chelsea, yeah.
So basically, though, they were saying that they were going to go for, their game plan was to go for Bradley, but they were going to convince him that they were going for Sebastian, which I never saw that come to fruition. It was literally just Bradley the whole way.
Yeah.
But, before we get into Tribal, was there anything more about that that, like, stuck out to you guys? Kind of like the alliance situation beforehand. It kind of seemed a little muddled in my mind, but just wanted to check in.
No.
All right.
I just, like, just the whole, to me, was all Bradley's arrogance.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, it's too much.
Do we think because of Bradley's arrogance, the other tribe was so blindsided by that they didn't target a stronger player and just went after somebody who was just arrogant?
Who were you thinking?
I mean, maybe Sebastian or
yeah, because Sebastian. I mean, he is one of the strongest ones.
Yeah,
I feel like they kind of had a coordinated attack on Bradley.
I was just asking, why?
I feel like they planned it out, thought it through, and thought that was going to be their best opportunity because he was probably the one that's the most divisive on the group. That maybe you could put some thoughts into their heads to say, okay,
they
I can get someone to switch.
Said at Tribal that he was like the ringleader.
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of it.
It's more so to rattle his bones a little bit because he was a little too full of himself and thought he had it. So it's like giving him a moment of doubt makes him a little bit weaker of a player.
And hoping that maybe someone inside of their alliance will like be like, see it. Oh, yeah. Maybe this is the time to make the move.
Yeah. And at Tribal, you know, Jeff had asked, was there any sense of, you know, trying to infiltrate this group? And Stephanie kind of called out, well, there was, but Bradley, you know, he let us know very much like where everybody stood on his team.
Right.
Which is also funny because if you really think about it, do you view him as the ringleader tonight? Because I feel like it was more Chelsea and Desiree's doing.
Yeah.
But they were under the radar leading, whereas Bradley's loud and out there. So
but I think Bradley thinks he is.
Right. He's smarter by the girls. The girls are playing the smart game, like having him take the fire.
Yeah.
But they're making the decisions.
And he never said, he loved being the ringleader until it was brought up at Tribal. And he was like, well, I don't really see myself as a ringleader.
He started feeling heat.
Yeah. He started feeling heat.
Well, another thing that was brought up at Tribal from Bradley was he said, you know, I've tried to talk to these people, and then Stephanie's face is like, what? And then he threw in like a babysitter. So I was like,
yeah, what?
Now you're just throwing in like these quips.
It's adding insult to injury.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, can we just talk about Michael's little situation that he did there? I thought it was brilliant.
Yes.
With the idol. So basically he said, he pulls out the idol and says, this isn't going to happen tonight because we have two idols to play. This is double. Brilliant. Which was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
It was really good. And so he is calling the shots basically at Tribal saying, you know what, you guys are five strong, but Chelsea and Sebastian are at the bottom. So I just want you guys to know that. And he gives them an opportunity to come on his side. What did you guys think of his play right there?
I thought it was interesting because now I'm worried, or not worried, just interested to see if the other players on that tribe thought maybe they should have targeted Michael instead of Brendan. Because clearly Michael's got some tricks up his sleeve and he's a little bit smarter than Brendan.
I think that's coming.
Because I feel like his move tonight was not.
Really?
It's like he set himself. Yeah, he had such momentum. And then when he played it on Stephanie, I was like, now you lost me as a player.
But see,
like,
I mean,
it just wasn't smart.
They did convince him that they were going for one of the girls. But my thing is, what if they would have went for Michael? Then he would have lost. Then he would have just replayed that stupid thing, that stupid immunity that the other guy lost. He said, I need to reverse the curse.
Here's where I'm confused, because Michael gave an amazing speech. Like, if I was there and I was in Navidi and he said exactly as he said, and I'm a super fan and I know Survivor China, and I remember that James went home with two idols in his pocket, if he had said that to me, and I thought, oh my God, he gets to play that on two people. That's too much of a risk. I'm jumping ship because after this, those four will want to work with me moving forward. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that would have been an opportunity to jump ship, in my opinion. So I think Chelsea and Sebastian either didn't see Survivor China, so they probably were like, what do you mean you get to play that on two people? And they didn't know the depth of the history of that idol. Because I wish I would have seen a little bit more conflict with those two. And I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, Michael did such a good job. Like, I challenge you guys to play this game. I mean, like you said, if I was sitting in that situation, I might have jumped. And then, I mean, good thing nobody did because of how it played out, but I would have freaked out a little bit. I mean, Michael did a really good job.
I thought not just Michael. I thought the foursome. Whole, they really came in. I felt like it was coordinated. Like, the way that they each kind of hit at Bradley in a different way, but added on. And really, it felt like there was, like, fueling a fire that maybe they could get someone. It didn't work out, but I honestly thought they played it pretty well. It just, they didn't choose the right person to have the idol.
Bria in the live chat was saying that she thought the idol was good for two people. Like, that's how believable it was.
I kept asking, like, is this really for two? Because he was confident. He came off really, like, it sounded like it was like, he had me believing.
Well, in his interview before they even went to tribal, he said, I'm going to tell a lie and I'm going to extend the power of this, this
idol. I
was like, what's he going to do? So when he said it's for two people, I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
And I don't think Sebastian or Chelsea saw Survivor China. Because if you were a super fan, you would have been a little bit more scared than you were in that tribal council moment.
That's when maybe not being that smart or having as much information can actually help you.
Yeah. It's
true. And I mean, too, the other alliance's credit, you know, like Kellen says, hey, you know what? We are all going to be talking smack right now. Like, the claws are coming out. And that's so many times in last-minute tribals like that. We see people scrambling, going whispering each other's ears. And it's like, Kellen's side, they stayed strong. They were just like, we know what we're doing, so we're not going to be rattled by this.
Yeah. I will say this. This is one of the most exciting tribals that I've ever seen. And there wasn't any of that last-minute whispering or pulling people aside. It was just pure good, like, Survivor tribal council. No whispering, no none of that. It was just like, hey, we have the votes. Do you think you have the votes? It's bluffing. It's not bluffing. Like, it's Survivor.
And another thing I like that Michael said was, like, this might, when you're on the jury and you just got voted out, this might be the night that you look back at and you regretted not moving over. I mean, he was convincing as hell.
It would have been an all-time move if he had given the idol
to Brendan.
It would have been, like, one for the, like,
but if I ages. Just, if I was, okay, so if you guys were Michael, would you have given the idol to Brendan? What would you have done? I would have kept it for myself, that's for damn sure.
I mentioned it when I came in tonight, but what was confusing, and again, this could have been just how it was edited, but Michael said, I'm playing this on myself and Brendan tonight.
Right.
And then looked back, and I was like, that's brilliant. You're taking a moment to read the room and figure out where they put their votes on. Bradley's reaction, again, it could be the edit, would have been enough for me to realize, oh, clearly they voted for one of the two boys, because he literally looked nervous.
Okay. So
I would have taken the risk to play it on myself or Brendan.
Okay, but who would you have played it on, though?
That's tough. I would have played it on myself,
because
I don't want to go home.
Either way, Brendan's going
home. That
would have
been a smarter move than giving it to just Stephanie for no reason.
Yeah.
I just didn't think that was smart.
I guess, I mean, we didn't see that conversation beforehand, but their argument that they were voting Stephanie out, or when they heard stuff around camp, must have been pretty convincing. Because, you know, even towards the end, he says he genuinely thought that Stephanie was going home, you know?
Right.
It's not like he was, like, trying to, you know, just be like, I'm not going to play it for that person.
But there's a lot of extenuating circumstances when you ask a question like that, because you're like, oh, who would you play it with? But we're not at camp 24/7 like they are. They could have heard something.
Yeah, and that's a great point, though. Like, looking back and reading the room, I mean, it could have gone either way, but I still feel like I would have had to play it for myself.
I mean, it all came for naught.
Either way, Brendan really did
And I feel like, to be honest, I think he's in a tough position now, because he showed that he's actually pretty confident and well-spoken, and like, he could be trouble. And so I think that they're going to be coming for him.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, a lot of people in live chat are saying that they would have jumped alliances hearing Michael's speech. So
it would have been an opportunity, just like Laurel saw an opportunity back on the new Navidi camp, Navidi camp, that, oh, you know, Dominic and Wendell are people I like and they're worth working with. It's not about tribal lines anymore. When you get to the merge, it's not going to be about old tribe or new tribe. It's individual. So when you see an opportunity, jump for it. Yeah. And that would have been an opportunity for Chelsea and Sebastian to be like, you know what? Moving forward, I could work with these four. And right. we might be the final six together. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. They just all seem like they're having fun. And I am excited to see how much more fun they can have. Speaking of fun, really quick. if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, for those who do, we've got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos. Podcast edition is hosted by our very own AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister that you've never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. And be sure to rate and comment when you do. Let Maria know it was us, her AfterBuzzers, who sent you to her. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Fridays, podcast edition. Check it out, guys.
Woo, cool. Check that out. Wow. Another quick question before we go into like predictions and whatnot. So the people now, I mean, that not... Okay, so Stephanie, Brendan, Michael, and... Jenna mm-hmm. are together, and now Brendan's obviously gone, so we have three. So do the other five think that he still has an immunity idol to play, or does he think he gave up two votes just to play one for Stephanie?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think that they don't. I think they're going to think he doesn't have an idol,
right?
Because he said this could save two of us.
So
this,
they're going to think that he's an idiot, yeah. and he played it for sure. one person when he yeah. could have played it for two.
I'm sure they're going to go back to camp, and he's going to be like, "No, I was bluffing you guys. It was only for one person, and I played it for one person."
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah, because maybe. Would you? I'd rather just come forward and be like, "Hey, I played it for one person, like I was supposed to," yeah. rather than, "Oh, I only played it for one person, but I could have played it for two." Like that just makes you look stupid.
Yeah, I'd rather them think I was just bluffing in the moment than think I'm like an idiot.
Yeah,
but I think he might just enough.
Well, I think he might also. Yeah, I think he's just. To describe as I just chose to play it for one, I could have played it for two or something. I don't know. I think he's going to try to spin it.
I don't know. I think he's going to come straight about it.
If you could have played it for two, then I would have been like, I mean,
and Stephanie, right?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, and either as I said, way,
if he plays his card right, he can make it seem like he has the second James Idol. If he plays his card right, maybe someone might buy it. Maybe.
Joseph Boza in the chat said he's the biggest moron, no matter if it's for one or two, he's screwed. And I'm going to disagree with that because yeah. I feel like, as much as we didn't like how he ultimately played the mm-hmm. idol, he did try something.
Yes.
Like, he did mm-hmm. throw it out there. He had us all believing that mm-hmm. his story. So, as much as we can say, you know, we can put faults on you didn't play it right, at the end of the day, you did, you know, you were smart enough to make this whole speech about this idol and have everybody believe it.
I thought that speech was brilliant. I think what he did with it at the end wasn't correct, but...
we're over here, like,
second-guessing. Yeah, we're over here looking at him,
it's
like...
Easy, like so. Right.
Hey, yeah. At the end of the day, Michael didn't go home.
Yeah,
so... That's true. Yeah, and lucky. He could've.
Overall, yes. What you said at the beginning, the episode was exciting. Mm-hmm. As a viewer, selfishly, I was not happy with the outcome. I would have loved to have seen Bradley go home. And I'm sure Bradley's a great guy in real life.
Yeah.
But him as a player, when you're that arrogant, it's mm-hmm. kind of fun to see you... get blindsided. Yeah. And I was hoping for it.
Yeah.
Agreed. So Brendan was one of our floaters in the draft. So yes. Nobody lost him, which
nobody
is good.
Took a hit tonight.
Nobody took a hit. Should we get into predictions?
Yes.
Do you guys have any other like news or gossip about Survivor that we should share before we get into predictions? James?
You're looking at me. Fine. Okay. So don't twist my arm. Okay, so last
week. Wow, that took a lot of convincing.
Oh.
TV news. Oh, we have one for them.
Okay. I don't think anything's been, like, confirmed or announced, whatever, but, like, if you are good on social media, you could probably figure it out. Last week, I had pointed out that if you go to two of the cast members' mm-hmm. Twitters, there's some insinuating captions in their bios that make it seem like they may be in love or they're dating since
they
experience.
Love.
I'm going to call it out. I think Sebastian and Jenna are dating. I think
for
they've
sure.
been dating since the show. And the preview for next week clearly shows that. Mm. Sebastian's Instagram and Twitter are mermaid, something relating to mermaids. And Jenna's bio says, I love a mermaid. So it's a little obvious. And I follow them on social media and I've seen them together since the show filmed. So yeah. I'm going to say that they are definitely going to be a little island love affair.
I've been creeping on their Instagrams a little bit, too. And it looks like even though they don't post stuff of each other, it's like they post something where like they're in the same location and it's like clearly you're cuddling with somebody or whatever.
I'm laughing at Sheena123's comment. Who is more annoying, Bradley or Abby Maria?
Oh, so Abby Maria.
Okay, I would have to say that's a really tough question yes. because I feel like they're both annoying for different reasons. Abby Maria was just loud and abrasive and obnoxious when I feel like she didn't have a reason to be. Remember and then Bradley is just kind of arrogant, and both of those qualities are turnoffs. So it's hard to pick one.
I'm going to say Abby Maria because she got on my nerves.
Do you guys remember how far Abby Maria made
it? Yes, like, she surprised me. Everybody wanted to take her because they didn't think that she was actually going to make it in the end.
The worst.
And don't get me wrong, they both make great television. Yes. I'm not going to deny that, but they are annoying.
See, that I disagree with you on. I think Abby Maria made better television, whereas Bradley, you're just like, oh, get off my screen.
Yeah, a little mm-hmm. bit. Yeah, I could see that. Okay, so now into predictions.
Your After so next Buzz week, TV what was predictions.
What was the preview? We saw the Chelsea thing, or I mean the Jenna Sebastian thing.
Right. We also saw Chris and Donathan maybe kind of getting together or maybe forming some kind of alliance, which is interesting because in the beginning of this episode, we saw Laurel and Donathan having a conversation where they were debating on whether they want to go with Chris or Wendell, and Donathan and Laurel both said that they would rather go with Wendell instead of Chris because they trust Wendell more. Mm-hmm. So based on this preview, I'm like, maybe Donathan's having second thoughts. Maybe, I don't know.
Sorry, real quick. Sheena went to the live chat and said, Paige, you think Sebastian looks like Joe? And honestly, at first, remember, I did a little bit. And then as we moved on, I was like, no. He doesn't look like Joe. He, like, does at first glance just because they have, like, long hair and they're both tan and with good abs. But, like,
No.
They don't look alike.
No, they don't look alike. Sheena, 1, 2, 3.
Is he on your fantasy draft team?
He's on mine.
Sebastian. Oh, who's on yours?
I need to remember who's on mine.
Yeah.
That I don't at the moment.
You should probably write all those down again.
Yeah, I wrote them and then I lost the paper. Well, let us know what you guys think. If you guys think that there's anything exciting going on for next week, or if you find out any news and gossip, let us know.
I would be curious to know, since we have a little bit more time, mm-hmm. who do you feel like is the front runner to win right now?
I think it's Laurel.
Okay.
I was going to say, tonight, something about Laurel changed my
I think opinion. Right now, tonight. If not, Chris would be up there, but I think he's more of a threat at this point, so it's like he's too...
You think Chris is a front runner to win?
Well, I think he would be, but he's too much of a threat. So I feel like Laurel isn't really a threat to everyone yet, so she's in a better position.
You know what, you guys? I'm going to say Desiree just because, A, she's on my draft, and B, because she's the one out of this entire group that said Brandon when they were talking about Michael or Brandon, and they ultimately decided for Brandon. So she must have said something to her tribe members that voted Brandon. So she's a little smarter than we give her credit for and what the cameras are showing.
I don't know why, for some reason, I think, I mean, between the two women that we just said, Desiree and Laura, I think Laura would make it farther.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's like a gut feeling.
I feel like you're only saying that, though, because of this episode, because it was so centered around Laura.
It could be.
How much of a stand-up
she was. I'm
saying because of tonight's episode.
Yeah, no, of course. And that's understandable, but I feel like it's doing a disservice to Desiree because we haven't really seen anything from her, which is a good thing because she's flying under the radar, just like Laurel is, except for she's doing it longer than Laurel is. Yeah,
I think Dominic may get further than we think.
A lot of people in the chat are talking about
to me, Dominic's the new Ben.
Who's I think also it's predictable on Dominic my fantasy draft. Thank you.
Oh, and also Kellen was my first draft, and I think that she could do very well. Yeah. I can see her in the top three for sure.
She's great.
Yeah.
I think Dominic is the new Brad, or new Ben, excuse me. I think that Dominic will be in the final three. Based on the edit and his attitude, I just feel like he is the prototype for a finale. I think Laurel is definitely a strong shot. Desiree is confusing to me because we don't know much about her gameplay. And I feel like if someone's going to win, there needs to be a consistent, at least some kind of arc with the player. Mm-hmm. So she's a wild card, but I would like to see her do well.
Like Dominic, Kellen, and Laurel would be cool.
If those three made it to the end, it would be awesome. And I feel like that, to me, is worthy of Laurel winning because that was her doing. She's trying to put that together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of time to go.
It's only day 10. Yeah. Day 12 at the end of this. Yeah,
day 12 for them.
Yeah.
Wow. So we have 16 people left. I think.
16.
Oh, I love Survivor.
Do you guys think there's going to be another tribe swap that happens soon?
I would like to see one.
I would say maybe like not next week. Maybe not even the week after. I think I would say either the week after or the week after that.
Okay.
Yeah, within like the next two weeks.
Two to three weeks.
Yeah, for sure. Well, any last thoughts before we wrap up? Very good show.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is a very exciting episode.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to be out the next 2 weeks, and I think you're out next week as well.
Not next week, but the following.
Oh, okay. So anyways, just letting you guys know that I'm not going to be here for the next 2 weeks, but you guys will hold down the panel. It will be good, so make sure you guys join. Thank you to everybody joining us in the live chat. You guys make our show what it is, and make sure to give us a like, subscribe, and let us know how we're doing in the comments on YouTube. Thanks, everybody. I am Paige Bonanno.
And I'm James Wallington. You can find me on Twitter at James Wallington or on Instagram at Where's Wallington.
Once again, thanks everybody in the chat. I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike.
And I'm Mike Rippey. You can catch me on social media at Mike Rips.
All right, y'all. See you next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.